Let's check in with Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. And the big story is the European Union agreeing to start membership talks with Ukraine. What does this mean for the country? Joseph, how do you see this?
Hey, Bob. Good afternoon from Lviv. I think it means a lot less than it seems. The membership process is not only the announcement that was made yesterday, not only for Ukraine, but also for the nation of Georgia across the Black Sea, which also is, by the way, partially occupied by Russia since the 1990s, and the nation of Moldova, which, by the way, is also partially occupied by the Russians. So these Ukraine, Moldova, and Georgia share that in common. But it's sending a signal that, you know, Europe wants to embrace Ukraine. And I think so often in this coverage, there's an imbalance. It looks like, it's great for poor little Ukraine to be part of Europe. But if you look actually, you know, at what Ukraine is, it's the largest country totally within Europe. It has a lot to offer, once there's peace here. And in many ways, the society in Ukraine is much more stable and healthier than society, say, in Brussels and Paris and London, where there's lots of frustration and upheaval. It sounds ironic, but there's the Ukrainian society. That's part of the reason why Ukraine has endured so strongly here, is very healthy. And it's more sort of the elite people that care about these announcements from Europe. But what really matters would be the announcement that long range weapons are coming to Ukraine with permission to use them to hit bases in Russia. Because we can talk about these pie in the sky things that, oh, one day Ukraine can join Europe when Russia is defeated, when there's victory. And so I think a lot of this is this kind of conversation is skipping that crucial step. Meanwhile, thinking of like how these things impact regular people here, when you were talking yesterday, Bob, about some people saying they're tired of hearing about Ukraine. And I think, if anyone who likes to watch a movie about good versus evil, to eat popcorn and watch a superhero movie, or really any movie about good versus evil, that is this battle every single day here. Mm-hmm. And it goes down to the level of individual people. And it really is a matter of willpower for everyone here. And collectively, if enough people have that willpower, it can work. And not just here, but beyond. And so just imagine yesterday, we've had several months without major Russian attacks. But everyone, sees the headlines and they see the weakness, for example, in Washington. And you can really feel that. And then in the past week, we've had several barrages of Russian missiles toward Kyiv. And then yesterday, throughout the entire country, we had 5 or 6 air raid alarms. And we had reports throughout the day that the Russians were launching these hypersonic missiles and ballistic missiles. Some of those missiles can hit anywhere in Ukraine within 2 to 3 minutes. So you don't have time. And we have these reports of the missiles incoming. Much of those reports turned out to be false. It was Russian electronic warfare. And really, if you look at what Russia was doing yesterday, probably they were testing the system, but they're also trying to break people psychologically. And you could really feel that effect. Just imagine you're in a Ukrainian city. You've already heard 4 air raid alarms throughout the day. You've seen all these reports. It's 7 o'clock at night, and then the alarm goes off again. And all you just get this heaviness. Everyone gets this heaviness thinking, what are we in store for tonight? Will we be able to sleep tonight in peace? And it turns out it was a calm night throughout much of Ukraine. But this is the depths of the psychological warfare that Ukrainians have to experience every single day.
It's easy for us to forget about that. But when you're there, I really admire how you put up with all this. And as you alluded to a few minutes ago, we were talking about how lately we received some pushback here at WGN from some listeners who have emailed and texted saying enough already with these live reports from Ukraine. But let me share what is representative of the majority of listeners' opinions here. Some of the texts we got yesterday. Bob, please keep talking about Ukraine. Keep Joseph's daily messages. Never even think of not doing it. We need his true observations and historic knowledge. Encourage everyone to support Ukraine. Seriously, I make sure my radio is on to 720 before Joseph Lindsley daily. Don't let the Putin communist supporting listeners discourage you from continuing the Joseph Lindsley reporting. Thank you for the reports Yes, Bob, we are totally with you, Joseph, and so many others in praying for and supporting Ukraine and our precious freedom. Hold fast. So I just wanted to be sure you got those messages, Joseph.
Well, thank you. And thank you to everyone for the support and for sticking with us. And, you know, I think we, by looking at Ukraine every day, we have a window not just to the human drama here, but there's something extraordinary in the world, that battle between freedom and tyranny. And there was a leader of the Chechen people, which is Chechnya is controlled by Russia. And he was killed by the Russians but in the 1990s. And he said, "Remember my words, Russia will disappear when the Ukrainian sun rises." And this guy's not Ukrainian, he's Chechen. And, you know, when you hear that, you might think it sounds like, oh, this is something about nationalism. But really, it's not. It's about the ideas that these two countries represent. Russia is the model of vertical control, of tyranny, of one person, one regime controlling the people. And Ukraine is a total opposite. It's this, you know, this sense of horizontal freedom where everyone can have agency and participate in life in a good way. And that's really what this battle is about. And, you know, I think about 10 years ago from these months was Ukraine's revolution of dignity, when the people took to the streets protesting. And in fact, yesterday, Bob, there was a protest in Kyiv in the wartime. And because people were protesting the local government for spending money on public works when all the people want to do is to buy drones and things that the soldiers need. And this is in a healthy democracy. You have these debates. And the protest was not violent. It was peaceful. And I think back to when Maidan really began 10 years ago, there was an Afghan-Ukrainian journalist. He's an intellectual and a journalist. And he tweeted these words when the revolution was just beginning, when people were sort of saying, hey, we can change things. And the tweet was, "Grab your umbrella, your tea, your good vibes, and your friends, and come to the Maidan. Come to the public square." And, you know, when you think of when we think of protests, we tend to think of violence, you know, burning things down and looting stores. That does not happen here. There's even, you know, when Ukrainians are united, they do this with a sense of joy. And that's how they're fighting this war. And this is the essence of, I think this is how you can, you know, this is what enables you to keep going. You know, even with the psychological manipulations and the ballistic missiles coming your way, is to do all this with joy. And I was talking with one of our foreign supporters from Poland, Beata. She does a lot to organize things with the volunteers. And she was observing the foreigners who come to Ukraine. She says there's three different types of people. You always have the opportunistic people, the weasels seeking publicity and business. Most of those people have gone by now. But then you have those who come seeking redemption, purpose, some redemption in their life, which is very noble. And then the third thing, and this is what you see all over Ukraine, the people who show up to fix something. That's their mission in life, is to go around fixing things. You know, they have these, she writes, they have gold hearts and pure spirits. These are the ones with a special spark in their eyes and the selfless will to make a difference, intuitively doing the right thing. And that's what this story, as I see it every day unfolding around us, that's what this story is about, not just for Ukraine, but throughout the whole world.
One more quick thing before we let you go, Joe. I need to get your take on Putin and his, what was it, 4 hours long? He's answering questions yesterday, and he said there would only be peace when Russia achieves its goals in Ukraine. What was your assessment of all that?
Well, and that's exactly this, with that Chechen leader. This is at the heart of that idea. Russia will disappear when the Ukrainian sun rises. And so Russia cannot exist as long as there is an idea of Ukraine. As long as there's an idea of that people can be free, that people can govern themselves, then that's a threat to not just to Russia, but to that whole mentality of tyranny and control. And that's why, you know, when you look at everything Putin has said about Ukraine, he has this deep-seated, rabid hatred for this country. And yeah, he hates the language and the culture, but he hates that because all those are reflections of the freedom of the people here. And so, you know, if anyone thinks, and in a sense, I'm glad that he's very clear about this, because all the people in the West that are starting to say, oh, Ukraine needs to negotiate, to give up a few cities. If you look at what Putin says, it is very clear he's never going to stop until this entire project of a free Ukraine is destroyed. That's his simple goal. And once he's got that, who's to say, you know, why would he stop? You know, and this is, you know, when we look at you know, Ukrainians, if they had not protested in 2014, they would be part of the Russian veil of influence right now. They would be pawns of Putin. Imagine the hell that Europe would be facing if Ukraine was controlled by Russia and the people were in the Russian army. That's terrifying. Thank God the Ukrainians said, we're not going to be part of this.
Yeah, imagine. Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine, I hope you have a peaceful weekend there, my friend, and we'll talk on Monday.
Until Monday. Thank you, Bob.